9. Lauhe Hikmat, Tablet of Wisdom. This tablet was addressed to Aga Muhammad, a distinguished believer from the town of Ga'en, who was surnamed Nabila Akbar. See Memorials of the Faithful, Chapter 1, Nabila Akbar. Another distinguished believer of Ga'en, Mulla Muhammad Ali, was known as Nabila Ga'eni. See Memorials of the Faithful, Chapter 17, Nabil of Ga'en. In the Abjad notation, the name Muhammad has the same numerical value as Nabil. This is an epistle which the All-Merciful hath sent down from the kingdom of utterance. It is truly a breath of life unto those who dwell in the realm of creation. Glorified be the Lord of all worlds. In this epistle, mention is made of him who magnifieth the name of God, his Lord, and who is named Nabil in a weighty tablet. O Muhammad, hearken unto the voice proceeding out of the realm of glory, calling aloud from the celestial tree, which hath risen above the land of Za'faron. Verily, no God is there but me, the omniscient, the wise. Be thou as the breezes of the All-Merciful for the trees of the realm of existence, and foster their growth through the potency of the name of thy Lord, the Just, the All-Informed. We desire to acquaint thee with that which will serve as a reminder unto the people, that they may put away the things current amongst them, and set their faces towards God, the Lord of the sincere. We exhort mankind, in these days when the countenance of justice is soiled with dust, when the flames of unbelief are burning high and the robe of wisdom rent asunder, when tranquility and faithfulness have ebbed away and trials and tribulations have waxed severe, when covenants are broken and ties are severed, when no man knoweth how to discern light and darkness, or to distinguish guidance from error. O peoples of the world, forsake all evil, hold fast that which is good. Strive to be shining examples unto all mankind, and true reminders of the virtues of God amidst men. He that riseth to serve my cause should manifest my wisdom, and bend every effort to banish ignorance from the earth. Be united in counsel, be one in thought. Let each morn be better than its eve, and each morrow richer than its yesterday. Man's merit lieth in service and virtue, and not in the pageantry of wealth and riches. Take heed that your words be purged from idle fancies and worldly desires, and your deeds be cleansed from craftiness and suspicion. Dissipate not the wealth of your precious lives in the pursuit of evil and corrupt affection, nor let your endeavours be spent in promoting your personal interest. Be generous in your days of plenty, and be patient in the hour of loss. Adversity is followed by success, and rejoicings follow woe. Guard against idleness and sloth, and cling unto that which profiteth mankind, whether young or old, whether high or low. Beware lest ye sow tares of dissension among men, or plant thorns of doubt in pure and radiant hearts. O ye beloved of the Lord, commit not that which defileth the limpid stream of love, or destroyeth the sweet fragrance of friendship. By the righteousness of the Lord, ye were created to show love one to another, and not perversity and rancor. Take pride not in love for yourselves, but in love for your fellow creatures. Glory not in love for your country, but in love for all mankind. Let your eye be chaste, your hand faithful, your tongue truthful, and your heart enlightened. Abase not the station of the learned in Baha, and belittle not the rank of such rulers as administer justice amidst you. Set your reliance on the army of justice. Put on the armor of wisdom. Let your adorning be forgiveness and mercy, and that which cheereth the hearts of the well-favored of God. By my life, thy grievances have plunged me into sorrow. Regard not the children of the world and all their doings, but fix thy gaze upon God and his never-ending dominion. Verily, he calleth to thy remembrance that which is the source of delight for all mankind. Drink thou the life-giving water of blissful joy from the chalice of utterance, proffered by the fountainhead of divine revelation, he who hath made mention of thee in this mighty stronghold. Endeavour to the utmost of thy powers to establish the word of truth with eloquence and wisdom, and to dispel falsehood from the face of the earth. Thus directeth thee the dayspring of divine knowledge from this luminous horizon. O thou who speakest in my name, consider the people and the things they have wrought in my days. We revealed unto one of the rulers that which overpowereth all the dwellers of the earth, and requested him to bring us face to face with the learned men of this age, that we might set forth for him the testimony of God, his proofs, his glory, and his majesty. And nought did we intend thereby but the highest good. However, he committed that which hath caused the inmates of the cities of justice and equity to lament. Thus hath judgment been given between me and him. Verily, thy Lord is the ordainer, the all-informed. In such circumstances as thou seest, how can the celestial bird soar into the atmosphere of divine mysteries, when its wings have been battered with the stones of idle fancy and bitter hatred, and it is cast into a prison built of unyielding stone? By the righteousness of God, the people have perpetrated a grievous injustice. As regards thine assertions about the beginning of creation, this is a matter on which conceptions vary by reason of the divergences in men's thoughts and opinions. Wert thou to assert that it hath ever existed and shall continue to exist, it would be true. Or wert thou to affirm the same concept as is mentioned in the sacred scriptures, no doubt would there be about it, for it hath been revealed by God, the Lord of the worlds. Indeed, he was a hidden treasure. This is a station that can never be described nor even alluded to. And in the station of, I did wish to make myself known, God was, and his creation had ever existed beneath his shelter from the beginning that hath no beginning, apart from its being preceded by a firstness which cannot be regarded as firstness, and originated by a cause inscrutable even unto all men of learning. That which hath been in existence had existed before, but not in the form thou seest today. The world of existence came into being through the heat generated from the interaction between the active force and that which is its recipient. These two are the same, yet they are different. Thus doth the great announcement inform thee about this glorious structure. Such as communicate the generating influence, and such as receive its impact, are indeed created through the irresistible word of God, which is the cause of the entire creation, while all else besides his word are but the creatures and the effects thereof. Verily, thy Lord is the expounder, the all-wise. Know thou moreover that the word of God, exalted be his glory, is higher and far superior to that which the senses can perceive, for it is sanctified from any property or substance. It transcendeth the limitations of known elements, and is exalted above all the essential and recognized substances. It became manifest without any syllable or sound, and is none but the command of God, which pervadeth all created things. It hath never been withheld from the world of being. It is God's all-pervasive grace, from which all grace doth emanate. It is an entity far removed above all that hath been and shall be. We are loath to enlarge on this subject, inasmuch as the unbelievers have inclined their ears towards us in order to hear that which might enable them to cavil against God, the help in peril, the self-subsisting. And since they are unable to attain to mysteries of knowledge and wisdom from what hath been unravelled by the source of divine splendour, they rise in protest and burst into clamour. But it is true to say that they object to that which they comprehend, not to the expositions given by the expounder, nor the truths imparted by the one true God, the knower of things unseen. Their objections, one and all, turn upon themselves, and I swear by thy life that they are devoid of understanding. Everything must needs have an origin, and every building a builder. Verily, the word of God is the cause which hath preceded the contingent world, a world which is adorned with the splendours of the Ancient of Days, yet is being renewed and regenerated at all times. Immeasurably exalted is the God of wisdom who hath raised this sublime structure. Look at the world and ponder a while upon it. It unveileth the book of its own self before thine eyes, and revealeth that which the pen of thy Lord, the Fashioner, the All-Informed, hath inscribed therein. It will acquaint thee with that which is within it and upon it, and will give thee such clear explanations as to make thee independent of every eloquent expounder. Say, nature in its essence is the embodiment of my name, the Maker, the Creator. Its manifestations are diversified by varying causes, and in this diversity there are signs for men of discernment. Nature is God's will and is its expression in and through the contingent world. It is a dispensation of providence ordained by the ordainer, the all-wise. Were anyone to affirm that it is the will of God as manifested in the world of being, No one should question this assertion. It is endowed with a power whose reality men of learning fail to grasp. Indeed, a man of insight can perceive naught therein save the effulgent splendour of our name, the Creator. Say, this is an existence which knoweth no decay, and nature itself is lost in bewilderment before its revelations, its compelling evidences, and its effulgent glory, which have encompassed the universe. It ill beseemeth thee to turn thy gaze unto former or more recent times. Make thou mention of this day, and magnify that which hath appeared therein. It will in truth suffice all mankind. Indeed, expositions and discourses in explanation of such things cause the spirits to be chilled. It behoveth thee to speak forth in such wise as to set the hearts of true believers ablaze and cause their bodies to soar. Whoso firmly believeth today in the rebirth of man and is fully conscious that God the Most Exalted wieldeth supreme ascendancy and absolute authority over this new creation. Verily such a man is reckoned with them that are endued with insight in this most great revelation. Unto this beareth witness every discerning believer. Walk thou high above the world of being, through the power of the most great name, that thou mayest become aware of the immemorial mysteries and be acquainted with that wherewith no one is acquainted. Verily thy Lord is the helper, the all-knowing, the all-informed. Be thou as a throbbing artery pulsating in the body of the entire creation, that through the heat generated by this motion there may appear that which will quicken the hearts of those who hesitate. At the time when we were hidden behind countless veils of light, thou didst commune with me, and didst witness the luminaries of the heaven of my wisdom, and the billows of the ocean of mine utterance. Verily thy Lord is the truthful, the faithful. Great indeed is the blessedness of him who hath attained the liberal effusions of this ocean in the days of his Lord, the most bountiful, the all-wise. During our sojourn in Iraq, when we were at the house of one named Majid, we set forth clearly for thee the mysteries of creation, and the origin, the culmination, and the cause thereof. However, since our departure, we have limited ourselves to this affirmation. Verily, no God is there but me, the ever-forgiving, the bountiful. Teach thou the cause of God with an utterance which will cause the bushes to be enkindled, and the call, verily there is no God but me, the Almighty, the Unconstrained, to be raised therefrom. Say, human utterance is an essence which aspireth to exert its influence, and needeth moderation. As to its influence, this is conditional upon refinement, which in turn is dependent upon hearts which are detached and pure. As to its moderation, this hath to be combined with tact and wisdom, as prescribed in the Holy Scriptures and tablets. Meditate upon that which hath streamed forth from the heaven of the will of thy Lord, he who is the source of all grace, that thou mayest grasp the intended meaning which is enshrined in the sacred depths of the holy writings. Those who have rejected God and firmly cling to nature as it is in itself are verily bereft of knowledge and wisdom. They are truly of them that are far astray. They have failed to attain the lofty summit and have fallen short of the ultimate purpose. Therefore, their eyes were shut and their thoughts differed, while the leaders among them have believed in God and in his invincible sovereignty. Unto this beareth witness thy Lord, the help in peril, the self-subsisting. When the eyes of the people of the East were captivated by the arts and wonders of the West, they roved distraught in the wilderness of material causes, oblivious of the one who is the causer of causes and the sustainer thereof. While such men as were the source and the wellspring of wisdom never denied the moving impulse behind these causes, nor the creator or the origin thereof. Thy Lord knoweth, yet most of the people know not. Now we have, for the sake of God, the Lord of Names, set ourselves the task of mentioning in this tablet some accounts of the sages, that the eyes of the people may be opened thereby, and that they may become fully assured that he is in truth the Maker, the Omnipotent, the Creator, the Originator, the All-Knowing, the All-Wise. Although it is recognized that the contemporary men of learning are highly qualified in philosophy, arts, and crafts, yet were anyone to observe with a discriminating eye, he would readily comprehend that most of this knowledge hath been acquired from the sages of the past. For it is they who have laid the foundation of philosophy, reared its structure, and reinforced its pillars. Thus doth thy Lord, the Ancient of Days, inform thee. The sages aforetime acquired their knowledge from the prophets, inasmuch as the latter were the exponents of divine philosophy and the revealers of heavenly mysteries. Men quaffed the crystal living waters of their utterance, while others satisfied themselves with the dregs. Everyone received a portion according to his measure. Verily, he is the equitable, the wise. Empedocles, who distinguished himself in philosophy, was a contemporary of David, while Pythagoras lived in the days of Solomon, son of David, and acquired wisdom from the treasury of prophethood. It is he who claimed to have heard the whispering sound of the heavens, and to have attained the station of the angels. In truth, thy Lord will clearly set forth all things if he pleaseth. Verily, he is the wise, the all-pervading. The essence and the fundamentals of philosophy have emanated from the prophets. That the people differ concerning the inner meanings and mysteries thereof is to be attributed to the divergence of their views and minds. We would fain recount to thee the following. One of the prophets once was communicating to his people that with which the omnipotent Lord had inspired him. Truly thy Lord is the inspirer, the gracious, the exalted. When the fountain of wisdom and eloquence gushed forth from the wellspring of his utterance, and the wine of divine knowledge inebriated those who had sought his threshold, he exclaimed, Lo, all are filled with the Spirit. From among the people, there was he who held fast unto this statement, and actuated by his own fancies, conceived the idea that the Spirit literally penetrateth or entereth into the body, and through lengthy expositions he advanced proofs to vindicate this concept, and groups of people followed in his footsteps. To mention their names at this point, or to give thee a detailed account thereof, would lead to prolixity, and would depart from the main theme. Verily, thy Lord is the all-wise, the all-knowing. There was also he who partook of the choice wine, whose seal had been removed by the key of the tongue of him who is the revealer of the verses of thy Lord, the gracious, the most generous. Verily, the philosophers have not denied the Ancient of Days. Most of them passed away, deploring their failure to fathom his mystery, even as some of them have testified. Verily, thy Lord is the adviser, the all-informed. Consider Hippocrates, the physician. He was one of the eminent philosophers who believed in God and acknowledged his sovereignty. After him came Socrates, who was indeed wise, accomplished, and righteous. He practiced self-denial, repressed his appetites for selfish desires, and turned away from material pleasures. He withdrew to the mountains, where he dwelt in a cave. He dissuaded men from worshipping idols and taught them the way of God, the Lord of mercy, until the ignorant rose up against him. They arrested him and put him to death in prison. Thus relateth to thee this swift-moving pen. What a penetrating vision into philosophy this eminent man had! He is the most distinguished of all philosophers, and was highly versed in wisdom. We testify that he is one of the heroes in this field, and an outstanding champion dedicated unto it. He had a profound knowledge of such sciences as were current amongst men, as well as of those which were veiled from their minds. Methinks he drank one draught when the most great ocean overflowed with gleaming and life-giving waters. He it is who perceived a unique, a tempered, and a pervasive nature in things, bearing the closest likeness to the human spirit, and he discovered this nature to be distinct from the substance of things in their refined form. He hath a special pronouncement on this weighty theme. Wert thou to ask from the worldly wise of this generation about this exposition, thou wouldst witness their incapacity to grasp it. Verily thy Lord speaketh the truth, but most people comprehend not. After Socrates came the divine Plato, who was a pupil of the former and occupied the chair of philosophy as his successor. He acknowledged his belief in God and in his signs, which pervade all that hath been and shall be. Then came Aristotle, the well-known man of knowledge. He it is who discovered the power of gaseous matter. These men who stand out as leaders of the people and are preeminent among them, one and all acknowledge their belief in the immortal being who holdeth in his grasp the reins of all sciences. I will also mention for thee the invocation voiced by Balinus, who was familiar with the theories put forward by the father of philosophy regarding the mysteries of creation, as given in his chrysolite tablets, that everyone may be fully assured of the things we have elucidated for thee in this manifest tablet, which, if pressed with the hand of fairness and knowledge, will yield the spirit of life for the quickening of all created things. Great is the blessedness of him who swimmeth in this ocean and celebrateth the praise of his Lord the Gracious, the Best Beloved. Indeed, the breezes of divine revelation are diffused from the verses of thy Lord in such wise that no one can dispute its truth, except those who are bereft of hearing, of vision, of understanding, and of every human faculty. Verily, thy Lord beareth witness unto this, yet the people understand not. This man hath said, I am Balinus, the wise one, the performer of wonders, the producer of talismans. He surpassed everyone else in the diffusion of arts and sciences, and soared unto the loftiest heights of humility and supplication. Give ear unto that which he hath said, entreating the all-possessing, the most exalted. I stand in the presence of my Lord, extolling his gifts and bounties, and praising him with that wherewith he praiseth his own self, that I may become a source of blessing and guidance unto such men as acknowledge my words. And further he saith, O Lord, thou art God, and no God is there but thee. Thou art the Creator, and no creator is there except thee. Assist me by thy grace, and strengthen me. My heart is seized with alarm, my limbs tremble. I have lost my reason, and my mind hath failed me. Bestow upon me strength, and enable my tongue to speak forth with wisdom. And still further he saith, Thou art in truth the knowing, the wise, the powerful, the compassionate. It was this man of wisdom who became informed of the mysteries of creation and discerned the subtleties which lie enshrined in the Hermetic writings. We have no wish to mention anything further, but we shall utter that which the Spirit hath instilled into my heart. In truth, there is no God but him, the knowing, the mighty, the help in peril, the most excellent, the all-praised. By my life, in this day the celestial tree is loath to proclaim aught else to the world but this affirmation. Verily, there is none other God but me, the peerless, the all-informed. Had it not been for the love I cherish for thee, I would not have uttered a single word of what hath been mentioned. Appreciate the value of this station, and preserve it as thou wouldst thine eye, and be of them that are truly thankful. Thou knowest full well that we perused not the books which men possess, and we acquired not the learning current amongst them. And yet whenever we desire to quote the sayings of the learned and of the wise, presently there will appear before the face of thy Lord in the form of a tablet all that which hath appeared in the world and is revealed in the holy books and scriptures. Thus do we set down in writing that which the eye perceiveth. Verily, his knowledge encompasseth the earth and the heavens. This is a tablet wherein the pen of the unseen hath inscribed the knowledge of all that hath been and shall be, a knowledge that none other but my wondrous tongue can interpret. Indeed, my heart, as it is in itself, hath been purged by God from the concepts of the learned, and is sanctified from the utterances of the wise. In truth, naught doth it mirror forth but the revelations of God. Unto this beareth witness the tongue of grandeur in this perspicuous book. Say, O people of the earth, beware lest any reference to wisdom debar you from its source, or withhold you from the dawning place thereof. Fix your hearts upon your Lord, the Educator, the All-Wise. For every land we have prescribed a portion, for every occasion an allotted share, for every pronouncement an appointed time, and for every situation an apt remark. Consider Greece. We made it a seat of wisdom for a prolonged period. However, when the appointed hour struck, its throne was subverted, its tongue ceased to speak, its light grew dim, and its banner was hauled down. Thus do we bestow and withdraw. Verily thy Lord is he who giveth and divesteth, the mighty, the powerful. In every land we have set up a luminary of knowledge, and when the time foreordained is at hand, it will shine resplendent above its horizon, as decreed by God, the all-knowing, the all-wise. If it be our will, we are fully capable of describing for thee whatever existeth in every land or hath come to pass therein. Indeed, the knowledge of thy Lord pervadeth the heavens and the earth. Know thou moreover that the people of foretime have produced things which the contemporary men of knowledge have been unable to produce. We recall unto thee Murtus, who was one of the learned. He invented an apparatus which transmitted sound over a distance of 60 miles. Others besides him have also discovered things which no one in this age hath beheld. Verily thy Lord revealeth in every epoch whatsoever he pleaseth, as a token of wisdom on his part. He is in truth the supreme ordainer, the all-wise. A true philosopher would never deny God nor his evidences. Rather, would he acknowledge his glory and overpowering majesty, which overshadow all created things. Verily, we love those men of knowledge who have brought to light such things as promote the best interests of humanity, and we aided them through the potency of our behest, for well are we able to achieve our purpose. Beware, O my loved ones, lest ye despise the merits of my learned servants, whom God hath graciously chosen to be the exponents of his name, the fashioner amidst mankind. Exert your utmost endeavour that ye may develop such crafts and undertakings that every one, whether young or old, may benefit therefrom. We are quit of those ignorant ones who fondly imagine that wisdom is to give vent to one's idle imaginings and to repudiate God, the Lord of all men, even as we hear some of the heedless voicing such assertions today. Say, the beginning of wisdom and the origin thereof is to acknowledge whatsoever God hath clearly set forth. For through its potency, the foundation of statesmanship, which is a shield for the preservation of the body of mankind, hath been firmly established. Ponder a while, that ye may perceive what my most exalted pen hath proclaimed in this wondrous tablet. Say, every matter related to state affairs which ye raise for discussion falls under the shadow of one of the words sent down from the heaven of his glorious and exalted utterance. Thus have we recounted unto thee that which will exhilarate thy heart, will bring solace to thine eyes, and will enable thee to arise for the promotion of his cause amidst
all peoples.
O my Nabil, let nothing grieve thee. Rather rejoice with exceeding gladness, inasmuch as I have mentioned thy name, have turned my heart and my face towards thee, and have conversed with thee through this irrefutable and weighty exposition. Ponder in thy heart upon the tribulations I have sustained, the imprisonment and the captivity I have endured, the sufferings that have befallen me, and the accusations that the people have levelled against me. Behold, they are truly wrapped in a grievous veil. When the discourse reached this stage, the dawn of divine mysteries appeared, and the light of utterance was quenched. May his glory rest upon the people of wisdom, as bidden by one who is the Almighty, the All-Praised. Say, magnified be thy name, O Lord my God. I beseech thee by thy name through which the splendour of the light of wisdom shone resplendent when the heavens of divine utterance were set in motion amidst mankind, to graciously aid me by thy heavenly confirmations, and enable me to extol thy name amongst thy servants. O Lord, unto thee have I turned my face, detached from all save thee, and holding fast to the hem of the robe of thy manifold blessings. Unloose my tongue, therefore, to proclaim that which will captivate the minds of men, and will rejoice their souls and spirits. Strengthen me then in thy cause in such wise that I may not be hindered by the ascendancy of the oppressors among thy creatures, nor withheld by the onslaught of the disbelievers amidst those who dwell in thy realm. Make me as a lamp shining throughout thy lands, that those in whose hearts the light of thy knowledge gloweth, and the yearning for thy love lingereth, may be guided by its radiance. Verily potent art thou to do whatsoever thou willest, and in thy grasp thou holdest the kingdom of creation. There is none other God but thee, the Almighty, the All-Wise.